Crisis communications is a complex science. There's a lot more to it than simply answering media or partner questions during a stressful situation. This series of edited discussions about crisis communication theory and practice is intended to help you refine your ability to manage, respond to, and ultimately survive a crisis. I'm Robert Johnson, your host for this conversation, presented by the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition. Each module considers a different aspect of crisis communications management, as explained by an expert or experts in the field. These discussions are produced to summarize the written and visual materials that accompany each topic. In this conversation, we discuss how you can drive organizational and community change with Dr. Stephen Flores, an expert on vaccine confidence at the CDC. The conversation is based on a presentation that you can find as part of this module. It includes a recording of the live presentation, complete with audience questions. Now, our discussion with Dr. Stephen Flores. What do you mean when you talk about managing up in the context of driving organizational and community change?
It's really about being clear on your role on how to drive change and to really be a voice for the community and bridge the public health mission with the needs of a community.
It seems one of the most important ways we can drive that change is by having a voice.
Having a voice really is understanding your role and understanding that if you're in an organization and you're representing the community, you often will be in a position of advocating for something. And so you need to be aware of that to be effective at it. So having a voice is a way of capturing that idea. So knowing what you're advocating for and understanding your audience as well.
Tell us what it means to have an understanding of the end goal when trying to rally an entire organization toward a particular objective.
I mean, I think you need to know what you want, if that makes sense. So, you know, I think it's important to understand if you're trying to raise an issue, if you're trying to, you know, inform a conversation, or if you have a specific ask, you want this action to be taken. And so a lot of this is, you know, applied from just really organizational work and just management and being an effective part of a team member. But in this context of organizational and community needs, really, I think it's important to understand very clearly because you're always, I think, trying to put a finer point on it. You're always trying to be super clear and you're bridging audiences. So the more that you know what you want to ask for, the better your chances of getting it.
You want people to understand what they need before they ask an organization for help.
Yeah, I think it's two parts. I think that's one, is sometimes people focus on making sure the problem is understood, which is an important thing, not to discount that at all. And so then when they actually get engagement and like the door opens for, well, what do you need? They're often not ready and they need to go back and think about it. And part of understanding the problem is the solution part. And so if you're talking about an organization with layers of leadership and management, you don't get as much time as you feel like you need usually. You often have just a small window of opportunity in a larger context with competing priorities. So you really want to get the most out of that interaction. So if you can bring the solution along with your problem, you're likely to get further. Even if it's not the final solution, even if it's a proposed solution, you're now talking about what to do instead of what the problem is. And that's helpful.
What about the approach to a problem? You say sometimes we don't get a solution because the approach is off.
So sometimes a problem is an actual issue. And so we're trying to understand what this issue is. We need this, we need that. And sometimes a problem is more about process. It's like, okay, well, that's because of how it happened. It's not because of what happened. It's because of how it happened. So let's talk about it not as, you know, the thing, whatever the issue might be, you know, funding or, you know, insert example there. But let's talk maybe what the problem really is the process and the way that we did it. So when you're dealing with representing the voice of a community, process is really important.
How can people listening to this conversation begin to enact change?
What's really helpful is to identify a key mentor, someone who's been around and really can navigate the office. So I wouldn't generalize too much. I think it really varies because there are some people that have been around a long time that, you know, don't engage with even worrying about that kind of stuff. And they just do their job. And it's like, okay, well, things have changed. And sometimes you have to bring up new issues. I mean, a lot of public health, and especially these days, I guess, it changes. You know, resources change. There's different epidemics, outbreaks. There's a lot of local factors that change. Public health is just really interdisciplinary and dynamic. And so you can't always get a 100% solid answer about what your organization will do. But when you start the conversation, it's good to know the recent history and the patterns and the tendencies and kind of the politics of the office. That can always help you to frame your message or to define your process.
Trust is a key factor in the process, right? But getting it, that takes time.
It's slow work, and that's trust building. I mean, you can't go out into a community on Monday, stay there through Friday, and then next Monday, they now have trust, and we're done. You know, it's a long-term engagement. And this is also why it's really important at CDC, at the federal level, to have partnerships and to support them in the right way that they can do that long-term work. Trust is a very common barrier in public health. I don't trust this. I don't trust that. I think, you know, you don't have my values as a priority. And so I don't really want to listen to the health department. If you can address that, it's not just vaccine confidence or immunization. It's the physical activity. It's other screenings. It's, you know, HIV testing. It's, you know, all these other services that are priorities for community population health. So there's a lot of benefit because at the core of this, the people that we serve most are these communities that we're often alienated from or have a fractured relationship with. So that is really important beyond any given program. There are exceptions, of course, but in general, I really do see it that way, which is why I feel every opportunity I get, I talk about the importance of building that relationship and that trusting relationship with communities and really listening to what their priorities are.
But the term rebuilding trust, that's a term you don't necessarily agree with.
In terms of language and framing, people talk about, you know, rebuilding trust. I say, stop saying rebuild, just say build trust. You know, we didn't necessarily hit the mark. We have here and we have there. But I think if we think of it as building trust being one of our key principles, I think that's going to serve us all very well.
Ultimately, aren't we trying to get the community's buy-in? Isn't that the goal here?
We can have the most effective, you know, we can have a pill that you just take and all your health problems are gone. But if people don't trust you, they won't take the pill. Way oversimplification. But you can flesh that out across programs and say, you know, this community has, you know, higher heart disease, has lower vaccination, has list all the things out that you have data for and say it's really converging here. We know this much, but we can't really implement anything effectively or as much as it can have the biggest impact without the community really wanting it. And so the way that we can work with the community to package it, frame it, and develop it in a way that they want is with the community. So we have to start talking to the community to understand a way forward.
How can someone listening right now get their organization to take action?
In general, I think if you focus on the added value, that's the way forward. And so if you have a genuine conversation about what the added value is, so if you're talking to management and they have concerns, put it in the context of added value. And I think that's how you move forward. From the management perspective, that's what we want to hear. Like, why are we doing it? Is it because you're interested in it, or is it going to have an effect? Is it going to have an impact? And what is that impact?
You've been listening to one of six discussions about crisis communications available on demand via this platform. Make sure to listen to all of them. Each considers a different aspect of the science and art of messaging during an emergency. Also, don't forget to engage the other resources included in this training. That way, you'll be prepared when a crisis comes calling. On behalf of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials and the National Public Health Information Coalition, I'm Robert Johnson. Thanks for listening, and be well.